Hi all, and welcome to our latest Celtic Underground weekly podcast. I suppose if it was the latest, it should be the 7 day on, but it's no 7 days on for the last one. But well, this is our new slot. We're trying to get a new slot going here. So that's the main thing. And I'm joined by Keith and Stephen. How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, all good, mate.
And of course, I think part of what making us feel a little, give us a bit of spring in our step is what we witnessed last Wednesday. And let's hope that we can see something similar on Tuesday, although I don't think any of us are under any illusions that it wasn't just the flannel, the typical managerial flannel. Of course, you can't say this is done and dusted. Keith, what's your thoughts?
Probably the best we could have hoped for going over to Austria. It was 3 goals, not conceding any as well, and the confidence that comes from that. Big saves from the goalkeeper, strong defending from the back line when it came to it towards the end of the game. First 15 minutes a wee bit ropey, but we did settle well into the game. And as long as we could do the same when we're over there, I think we've got a very, well, got more than a good chance. Always, we've got 1 foot in the door.
Stephen, you're quite good with these. Like, I think I looked at the Opta percentages.
Yeah.
Celtic was 92%.
Yeah, we're quite high on that now. Like, I think the 3-0 swings, it's a big difference between 2-0 or 1-0, isn't it?
I think Bodo was 98% or something, then Celtic was 92%. I think they were second in the list. So, I mean, my worry is, it seems to have been a phenomenon in recent seasons that Celtic can lose goals in clusters in away European games. And see if you think about it. Let's be honest about it. In those first 5 minutes of that first leg, like, they could have been 2-0. If the guy had been a wee bit more aware of the defensive line, about staying onside, and if the guy had just wrapped his foot like a bit further round for that shot that came about 5 minutes later when they were clean through, you could have easily been 2-0 down. That's my worry, that say you just saw a period like that. But I did feel as if Celtic, I mean, I know our friends in the Huddle Breakdown are talking a lot about what we talked about last week, Stephen, about how the fact Celtic are an easy team to play through. Now, Mika Bauer, and he had quite an enterprising home debut, but Celtic are still very easy to play through. But as we've said, that's an 18-month phenomenon. That's not something that's just started.
It's not a new thing, yeah. And even the goals in clusters, it's funny, I mentioned my pal, we were talking about that today when we were out, and that's a European thing, since O'Neill was the manager first time round, and Strachan was the manager, and Ange, and it's a Celtic thing. It's like, it's different sets of players, it's different generations of fans, but we still seem to have that mad thing. You know, if you remember the game under Rodgers when we went to Israel, we were well up, and then we were hanging on after like 10 minutes into the game. Like, I think, yeah, definitely. You know, I thought 2-0 would have been a good score the other night. I think 3 did it was probably a fair reflection on the game. And I think when O'Neill said that, he was right to say that too. They were in the game. I think the big difference was the quality up front. And that, if you look at all their goals, were fantastic finishes, really good quality. You know, we took our chances. We had a few others as well. Like, you know, McGregor hit the post. There was a few other chances. So we, you know, we say they could have scored a couple. We probably could, it could have been a 5-2. It could have been like that. So I thought it was quite a mature performance defensively. You know, we grew into the game. Colby Donovan, I thought, was fantastic. He had his wee ding-dong with the bench. You know,
I thought that was O'Neill, but then somebody said afterwards it was Maloney.
It was Maloney, yeah. But I like that. I like that he's willing to go over and say, well, what do you want me to do? Yeah. That's a good thing, you know, that he's got that about him to stand up and say, like, and I think that's, you need to have that interaction and that. And I think, you know, I can cope with Alistair Johnson being out for a couple of months if that's the Colby Donovan we get. And look, he might make mistakes, and he will make mistakes. But, like, you know, if you look back at Europe, like, we've seen Lustig make mistakes, Scott Brown make mistakes, Callum McGregor they all make mistakes.
Effie.
Yeah, Effie was a mistake waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So you can't just, you know, so the upside of playing Colby Donovan, I think, is much more than the downside.
Definitely. You know, I've championed him on here for long and weary, and I despair at how the same people that want to see us bringing through players want to dismiss any player they see playing at Celtic. after half a dozen games if there's two or three mistakes in those half a dozen games, which surely you've got to. People always forget that. Does anybody remember KT's European debut? Do you remember it, Keith?
Come on, when Izzy got sent off, did he? Was it?
No, well, his first start, sorry, I should say his first
was
start.
After, was the game after or that? Yeah.
Fenerbahce, do you remember? He had a really difficult night, a 2-2 against Fenerbahce. He had That was Ronnie Dyla.
Would have been, yeah.
Really difficult night he had. Mm-hmm. But you could tell how much he would take from it, he would learn from it. It was like, I thought, if Donovan, that's my worry about when the position Donovan's in. If Donovan had a terrible night on Wednesday night, people would not want to see him with him. They did the same. They didn't want him. If you remember after the loss to Tynecastle last season, they said Donovan and Murray should never play for Celtic again. Yeah. And if you remember, people do that, Yang after the cup final last year, he should never play for Celtic again. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm in the wrong business because the irrationality is part of the passion and such like, but I'm delighted that, and I think Donovan and Murray have to be first team squad members. I'm not saying they play every week or whatever, but you have to try and give these guys a season where they're really in and around it and they really feel part of it. Yeah. I know, Keith, you're a guy that likes that.
Yeah, for me, it's all about getting the minutes and the legs and the experience. And from the other night, Donovan's going to learn so much. I think the big thing for him was just he got a little rush of excitement and he was trying the big cross-field balls, which came off. You kind of want that.
There was a couple, yeah.
Absolutely. And you kind of want that wee bit of inventiveness and gallantness from him. But he also had the wherewithal to make sure that he was doing a pretty good job defensively. There's still plenty of bits for him to work on. And we've got to be mindful that these guys are still learning, especially when you're as young as Donovan was last Wednesday starting that game. The boy's a Celtic fan. He was talking about how they've had season tickets all his life, going to games with his dad, his family, but his girlfriend's family as well. We're all in the stadium watching them. Can you imagine us going there and what it would mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just to be on that park in the first place, but a chance to play in a European game under the lights and the crowd. I've got to say, the crowd last week were absolutely fantastic. The first 10-15 minutes, the chances that Lask had, I thought the crowd were amazing to stay behind the team. And I think we galvanised them and we helped bring them on and helped settle down. We also unsettled the Lask players as well, especially when the goals went in. The sound in the stadium starting to get back to the special nights of European nights at Celtic Park.
Yeah, it definitely was. It felt like one of those special nights, but you have the platform now. Now you have to capitalise on that platform. And I thought naively, maybe it's just the way that the average Joe Punter thinks, but I thought they would use the week between these to almost like the boosterism. You know, we've got that result, and then you bring in a couple of players, and everybody thinks, wow. It really is all coming together, but it looks like we won't see any signings before the second leg. Maybe they've decided they didn't want any distractions for that. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Stephen, I mean, we expect to see Lando Emenalo.
Yeah.
The Nico Seager, that's understandable because I noticed he played it right back for Hajduk Split the other night in their playoff, which they drew 2-2, and they've got the away leg, second leg, so they're looking dubious. It seems to be it's Janitas. Is he the one that we're hearing that?
That's the one we want. Yeah.
That's
but,
the one.
You know, that, it may be that he's, you know, and you've worked with it by now, but I'm very loath to defend the club in any shape or form, but it might be that he's waiting for the Champions League to see. Because if you're leaving, you know, Serie A, you know, he's looking at Celtic as a move to the next step up, isn't he? And, you know, if we're in the Champions League, that's a platform for any player, isn't it? You know, as opposed to the Europa League. It is a difference. It's a big difference. And money-wise, it's a difference as well for players. But it's the attractiveness. It's the shot when that's where, you know, Engels, Nicholas Kuhn, Matt O'Reilly, they've all got their move off of performing in the Champions League, haven't they? So, yeah, I can see that. I kind of agree with you. It'd be nice if somebody had come in just to, you know, keep the momentum, keep the, you know, the positivity around Celtic. You know, it's a good, it's I remember Jock Steen talking about, I remember reading something about Jock Steen, and it was about how he used to try and get stuff on the back pages. If Rangers were doing something, he would leak a story so that we got the back page. It was almost like a kind of, that was his methods of modern warfare. It was like he wanted to keep us, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, if you think when we announced Rodgers, it was the morning, it was before Rangers had the cup final against him. So all the headlines were about Celtic rather than, and sometimes those are, you know, you manage your PR. I think, you know, it's funny, Celtic, I don't, you know, Celtic's PR, I don't think is brilliant. The guy that runs the social media is fucking awesome. He's brilliant. We need to put him in a better position. Like, you know, he'd nearly have me buying all the shirts again. But, you know.
Where are we? We're not a penny more. Or is it not a penny? I can't even remember what it's called anymore.
Yeah, but, I don't know with that. So it's funny because I know there was something come out last week. They've announced a committee.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But then it seems that, so I was signed up for our supporters club. But then I think you had to re-register again, which I didn't realise. So we haven't had the update as to what's happening. We'd actually asked some questions about that, you know, the structure of what the you know, the board of it was going to be like, or that, you know, the committee was going to look like going forward. We'd asked, and nothing came back. And that seems like we haven't re-registered, you know, but I think, you know, our club, it's a funny one. Our club is, and it's probably a bit like the Celtic Underground site, there are some of us that are very prominent supporters of the collective, and there are some that are less so. And there are some that are very much anti the collective. You know, there's a mixture. You know, I was having the arguments in the pub with some of the old boys saying, oh, this is all like a Green Brigade thing. And I was like, well, no, because I'm not Green. You know, these are the things I don't like. You know, do you like these? No. I said, well, then you're, you know, these are the things you don't like as well. But yeah, I don't know what's going to come of that. I think, you know, ultimately, some of the things that the collective wanted, and Eddie done a really good article, didn't he, after?
He did.
About going back to, I think some of those things have been addressed. There are still some things that we need to do better. The board still needs a bit of restructure on it. We still need to have a chairman, a new chairman, permanent chairman. You know, do we need to, you know, and maybe it's, you know, people wanted, okay, I think people took offence at that, you know, the Nicholson and Mackay out and the things through their faces. Like, maybe if they're doing their job properly, actually people don't feel like that. If we can see that they're doing the job properly, if they communicate better with us, they will get us back on. It doesn't take much to fix that. I think you were talking about it the other week. It really doesn't. Like,
yeah, I mean, but by the same token, a good transfer window. If you're applying pressure for myriad reasons, and a good transfer window shouldn't change if you've got a protest underway, or if you've got a collective and you're pushing for a new vision and a kind of reset of Celtic. One good transfer window shouldn't be it either, Keith?
Yeah.
Quality seems to be the word that we're hearing is what we're going for this summer. But this quality can't just be a one summer every 3 or 4 years. Like, was it El Nino's happening this month? It's starting to kick in again. It's not going to be every 8 years that we're going to get a revamp of the squad where we get quality, and eventually that just whittles its way down to the bare bones again. We can't have that. It's got to be every transfer window there's at least one hit. If we're losing one of our star players, then we've got somebody that's coming in either to take over or maybe be a future player to take over in the number one spot. Just as you were saying from the past week, and how this weekend we don't have any first team men's results to keep us going, to keep that good feeling going. It was good to see that the women's team won 3-0 at home, the first game of Thurin Kirk and Tillock it is now. A wee signing would have done wonders just to keep the vacuum there, keep it
the feel good
on.
Feeling good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But like you say, it could all be dependent on how we get on Tuesday. And 8 o'clock kickoff for us, isn't
8 o'clock
it?
So kickoff. It's on Amazon.
10 o'clock at night, I'm hoping for the first of those signings being announced.
We've all got the flight tracker app, haven't we?
It's quite interesting that the Scottish transfer window doesn't close until Thursday, the 3rd of September, 5 p.m. Whereas England closes, and my birthday, by the way, my 59th birthday, the 1st of September, England closes at 12. I think it's at 12 noon. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, this lag.
They're all slightly different, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, you wonder if in between that, there's some kind of... Celtic normally pick up...
Who's not in the squads? Yep. Yeah.
I see Matt O'Reilly really does seem to be bombed out, and they're not missing him, are they? With that 4-0 today against Aston Villa. I mean, his career's... And I saw somebody saying yesterday that Arne Engels, there seemed to be some West Ham fans saying it was the worst debut they'd ever seen for West Ham.
That's a shame.
People are quick to judge, do they know?
Yeah. I think it's early to be writing off. There's obviously a St. Anthony West Ham supporter that's out there, that really doesn't like Arne Engels.
You'll not be surprised to know that St. Anthony reposted it and said, and he was going on about Brian. I told Brian this. See, I was right all along. We've robbed them. And
well, who knows? When the players leave, you want them to do well because
you do want them to do
ultimately
well.
It's better for us, isn't it? Especially if they've got add-ons and different things in it. But we were talking about the Bodo, the jinx that players go away. But we can apply that equally to us. I saw, Nicholas Kuhn is getting transfer listed apparently.
Yes.
But I think O'Reilly might. I saw he was linked with Lyon, which could be a good move. I don't know. Are they in the Champions League this season?
No.
I wasn't sure if they made the cut. Have they made the Champions League? Or they were in the playoffs, weren't they?
They were in the playoff. They're in the playoffs.
They're playing Fenerbahce, was it? Or
I'm sure I saw them the other night. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're still in. So, he could be a good. That would be a good move maybe for a regular. I think he'd done okay when he was playing in France for Marseille. I think there's been talk of about coming back to us. I don't think he's going to come back. That's not a. That's a pipe dream for all of us, but I don't think, and why would he? It would be a silly move.
Yeah, and in the bargain, Tony Bloom wouldn't sanction that, would he?
Of course he wouldn't, yeah. It wouldn't make sense.
Wouldn't make sense at all. But it seems to be that we're saying that the numbers in are dependent on the numbers going out. Do we think Mamic is only the backup if somebody swings in with a late bid for? Is that what the thought is now for Negrin?
He could be the Negrin replacement.
Replacement. Yeah, Seager, he's a defensive midfielder, so you would imagine that he should come in whatever happens with Hatate or Negrin. But you still need left-back cover, so Emenalo, that shouldn't affect him. And Janitas...
Good pronunciation there.
I don't know if it was a good pronunciation. I don't know his family well. I don't know his family. I've only met him a few times, but I don't know his family well. So, if two leave and three more come in, is that enough?
It depends on the players that leave, doesn't it? I think, Balik Wisher is probably gone, but he's not. He doesn't really count, does he? He will be gone. If Hatate goes, I know Hatate's out. A favour, but he still is he's a playing member of the squad. He came on the other night. I thought he played well.
He did well.
He seemed like the crowd were very, very supportive of him.
I think it helped. It's Keith was talking about.
He was a big contributor to the third goal. His off the ball work was a big contribution to that. So that's good. And maybe, if him and O'Neill can fit, and even if O'Neill's like, give us 6 months, I'll give you games, you give me your best. And you might get a better move in January. We won't stop you moving, but you might get a move to a club that you want rather than, because I think he's turned down the likes of Panathinaikos and there was someone in Austria but I think he is good enough for a top five league. Not a top team in those leagues, but.
Look, he definitely is. He definitely is. He definitely is.
No, but so if he goes, if Negrin goes, they definitely need a quality replacement. I think Giannitis seems to be, we're going to go for him anyway, or he's been linked. Seager could be good because he can cover fullback as well, can't he?
He plays
a lot of games at right back.
He's even played at centre back, I was looking there.
But he's a Martin O'Neill type player, isn't he? He can play two or three different positions. And O'Neill knows like that with McNamara and Sutton, and we talked about this before.
Walt Lawson as well.
Yeah, he does like the kind of jack of all trades to an extent. I'm telling you, I'm going to float this one with you for Tuesday because I am worried, right? Probably wouldn't happen, but what do you think of this? You know what I would do on Tuesday? I would play a 3-4-1-2. And bear with me here, right? my back three.
Wilfred Nancy's back in the house.
No, my back three. Because if you remember, three strapping, quick, light and quick guys they had.
Yeah.
So you need, it would be good to introduce more pace. And the one thing you can say about Scales, you can say a lot about his progression of the ball and such like, but he's quick. So if you add in, if you have your good recovery pace, so if you'd him and Trusty, who's also got decent pace, and then you have kind of Cameron Carter-Vickers, kind of almost the kind of sweeper role, he could kind of sit back off him a wee bit, but he did, he worked it out, because I know a lot of people were sneering about how slow he'll take 12 games before he gets, never the quickest, but he's a guy, if he's out for a long period of time, he always needed about a dozen games to really get.
He came on to a game, didn't he, during, as the game, he got better as the game progressed.
Because he worked it out. So there's my three. You writing this down, Keith? That's my three, right?
Okay, yeah.
I've got back three,
And then my four is, it's Donovan, Bauer, McGregor, Tierney, right? And then my four, right. And then
you got one.
Then my one is Negrin, and then you've got Gerrard off. So you get Gerrard through the middle, because that's where you can really exploit their three, if you get two up against them. So you've essentially, your three files into a five, really, because you've got defensive players wide. Because the one player you can't play, although it was encouraging to see him coming on and look much more like it than he had even at Tannadice. It just shows you a couple of more days training was Hassan. He was willing to hit the ball and go and run, whereas he hadn't been willing to do that at Tannadice. But he does not track back. There is no way you would play him. So the guys I've sacrificed from last week is I've sacrificed Yang, and I've sacrificed. And did I sacrifice?
Yang for Scales. Didn't
he? No, he didn't start. Who else did I sacrifice there?
Not sure. Yang for Scales.
Is that it?
Is that really? You just rejigged it a wee bit.
So is that all I've done? Yang for Scales.
Yeah.
There you go. But it just shows you know, because 2 weeks ago, O'Neill said, this team has got to be flexible. We've got to be able to play more than one system. So what do you think of my dear Keith?
I thought, do you know something? If you keep something long enough, it'll come back into fashion. Big baggy denims are all coming back into fashion for the 90s and that. You never know this. This could absolutely come back into fashion. We've got the team to do it. I don't know if Donovan's got the lungs of Didier Agat, who was at the stadium the other to get up and down that wing the same way that he did. Tierney possibly could, but it's a hell of a shift for him to do. Cal Mackett maybe at the base, with Negrin and Bauer just ahead of him.
Bauer has played as a double pivot. He's played six times. He's played as a defensive midfielder in his career. So it's not entirely alien to him, but of course.
Yeah.
Most of his games, it's funny, he's played 49 games as an attacking midfielder. He's played 30 games at right wing and 26 games at left wing. He's had quite a varied, they've obviously been trying to thought, this guy's got talent, this young guy got talent, but where's his best position?
I thought when he started, just his movement, his turning, even his big daft hair, was very, very reminiscent of Real Hatate.
It was uncanny.
When Real came on, it was just, when you say like for like, it was pretty much like. But the more defensive role for him, I'm not so sure. I quite like him, that wee bit further forward. He tries more offensive passes. He tries to put a wee bit of risk into the game, which we want to see. I can see that team could probably set up for that. Maybe asking a wee bit much of up top. Duran doing a bit more run about. Although I do think a good partnership could be formed with the two of them. Negrin is kind of like the floating 10 and behind.
Yeah.
Because he prefers being that side and running the slant, the diagonal towards the goal and bringing people in. I think we've got a good thing just now. And although we're giving up chances, for me, the big thing, and we're talking about these midfielders that are due to come in, hopefully, in the next week or so if we get through to Champions League, is that Callum McGregor needs help. And Callum McGregor, we need to have the conversation about Callum McGregor being replaced, because there was there was a couple of wee signs in the game last Wednesday, and I adore Callum McGregor. I've loved him since he came into the side, playing in the games through in Edinburgh. Just I liked everything about him. I liked his movement, his willingness to get on the ball, and I love that he never gives up. It doesn't matter if we're down 3-4 goals. He's always trying his best. He's always moving. He's always looking to be on the ball and be brave there. But the other night, there was a couple of wee things where he was looking a wee bit wayward with his passes, and tackles weren't quite falling for him, and it looked a wee bit laboured getting forward and back. And I adore the guy. I think he is an example to everybody at the team about what we want and how the standards are maintained. But I think we need to do more this season to support him and possibly think about the phasing of him out. And if we're getting quality coming into the team with him making appearances, quite a lot of appearances domestically, but also having good backup and cover for him in European games and not being afraid to substitute him after 60 minutes, then this might be the season for us to have to do that. And it's a conversation I've been kind of putting off for a couple of years, because I don't think that the standards have dropped that far. I think he's just been getting a wee bit deeper and deeper in his role at Celtic, for the attacking midfielder, out wide, the central midfielder, playing with Scott Brown a wee bit ahead of him. Don't know if even these guys coming in and maybe us having some defensive midfielders are going to free him up to play that wee bit further forward. I think the kind of six, the holding midfielder role, suits him now at this stage of his career, but it is something that we need to be wary of, that how long do we play him in that position, such an important role.
Yeah, I think you notice inevitably, because like old father time, you know, like a kind of physical diminishment in the sense of, I noticed it last season, because he used to make those tackles he really had to make. He would make the majority of them. But now it's maybe 50-50 whether he makes that tackle or whether the guy, he tackles the guy, but the guy gets away with the ball anyway. You know, there's a lot of that. Like, there is the odd wayward pass, but I think that happens in Europe when sometimes you're up against better teams. You're obviously going to see that. You're not going to have the same. He used to have 90% pass completion rates, but a lot of that was in the kind of, to me, it was in the kind of Brendan Rodgers system.
Yeah. Yes, passing.
It was very much, it was just kind of recycling the ball, just keeping a tempo, just keeping possession. So there wasn't any attempt at penetrative passes. And he's clearly been asked to, you saw that. I mean, that was the one thing I think you could say we say a lot of things are Celtic-y, but it was so un-Celtic-y. That third goal, it was the kind of goal you would lose in Europe, wasn't it? You go, look at that, six passes and they've scored, right for the keeper. You know, and it was like Celtic doing that to somebody else.
Yeah.
Quite something, Stephen, wasn't it, that?
It was a great goal. There was a couple of bets the other night. Duran was one. For me, Duran was like, that was like one of the guys we play against when we played like an Eastern Europe, a random team that had some South American kid that nobody had ever heard of, that was just brilliant. You know, he scored a couple of screamers and we were like, how do we not get a player like that? So it was a bit like that. Third goal, yeah, it was the same. It was, you know, it was great movement. You know, it was funny, like, I'm agreeing with Keith on McGregor. I think the thing with McGregor was never the most physical of players anyway. He's not a big guy. He doesn't go like crashing into tackles. Same was talking about, like, a Victor Wanyama type. I think what McGregor was really good at was that anticipation. So he would know where he would be at the tackle before. Whereas now, those ones that he was always slightly ahead of, that he made into a 70-30 for himself, they're now a 50-50. And he doesn't have the physical attributes to come out of all those 50-50s or 40-60s maybe. And that's a timing thing. But he still, you know, the one he cracked off the post, he still has that ability, doesn't he? And so it's where, you know, it's funny, I saw somebody was talking about the game and they were raving about him. I can't remember who it was, but they were raving about McGregor's performance, whereas I'd watched and I hadn't really seen that. But we all see different things, don't we, in the game? And I think we are all seeing maybe a slowing down in McGregor. But we don't want to take him out of the team. We just want to manage the time. So as Keith said, if it's 60 minutes and then the new guy comes on, I think we're almost at that stage now. A couple of additions now will be a bit like we were under Ange's team, that when you made those substitutions after 60 minutes, the team that finished the game was as good as the one that started the game. And we've not been like that for a couple of years now.
That's what you need.
Aaron Moy and O'Reilly were interchangeable. Abada and Maeda were interchangeable. Jota wasn't starting every game. Giacomakis right. would start instead of Kyogo, and you still had a really good 11. You know, I think we're getting there, and we need two or three that we have that. You know, and that means McGregor will be the player maybe that gets the 60-minute rest.
Yeah. You know, or, it's whether he would accept that, I suppose, because he does have a role in the team which is almost kind of psychological, because it's not about even necessarily what you see, because there's too many Celtic players, too many people in the squad say, this is the guy that makes it all tick. So his role is almost like it's almost like a patronage he provides to the team.
Yeah.
As much there's as a lot we a don't kind of see, performance. Isn't there? Yeah.
yeah.
And he has really, the way he's grasped that, I mean, it's an incredible captain, incredible feat for him to do that and to really have that kind of, he is the guy, he is the kind of orchestrator, he is the kind of, the kind of, the string puller in terms of the kind of puppeteering aspect of it, because, and I know he got in lots of stick last year because of the pointing, which he hasn't really done so much this year, because maybe people are, but, and I think that's where Cameron Carter-Vickers comes in, because Celtic are just better defensively when Cameron Carter-Vickers is there. Because he can be that guy in defence, in the sense that he's clearly got a kind of a footballing brain. So is McGregor. Maybe you're seeing that even further up, I suppose, like whatever. I don't know who's going to be the guy. I don't think he's necessarily going to be a Griffiths. Or a Hooper, or even a Dembele. I don't think he's even Commons. I don't mention Larson because nobody's a Larson, so that's why I'm not saying it. But he's not going to be a guy. I don't think he's necessarily going to be a guy that's going to score you 30 goals in the season.
Mm.
I don't think he's necessarily going to be that. Actually, bizarrely, Duran might be that guy. But all you would need if they keep niggering, if you get 20, 25 goals featuring him, well, that's your line share of goals. That's fine if you've got that triangle.
I'll tell you who reminded me of in the game last Wednesday, and it was the way that he bought fouls for us and got us up the park when we were in a bit deep defending, and it was like Samaras. And Samaras was wonderful at that at European games.
Yeah.
Holding the ball up a wee bit, taking it for a wee run or buying a foul from the opposition, which allowed us to get out, to breathe, to reset and get ourselves up that park. And I thought he did that wonderfully well. It was a battle with the two centre-halves it was up against. And we didn't really create much chances for him. So there wasn't much for him to do. But what he did do was just contribute to the team getting up the park, occupying those two central defenders, and just really played his part and making sure there was space behind for people like Durant again, and for the edge of the box to be available for us to stroke in those beautiful goals.
That's what O'Neill said, wasn't it? His presence.
Yes.
He created the space, a lot of it, didn't he? It's like you said, he was bullying those two centre-halves that left. Chanji, did you see the video that it was the two goals together? One above the other. And it was exactly the same move, really. It was the same cross from Tierney, the ball breaking. And I think Hu was a big part of that, because he was in amongst.
Yeah.
And they're concentrating on him. And we've got to watch that guy, because he's just scored a hat trick and he's on form and he's the guy that's flying. And it was almost like Duran sneaked in under the radar, didn't he? Negrin's goal. You know, Negrin's goal was an exceptional finish. That was such a good finish.
He's so good against Juve.
Yes, yeah.
But it's the way he has a whip on it to take it away from the keeper. You know, it doesn't arrow into the top corner. It bends into the top. He's done it about three or four times as well, hasn't he? Was it out at Rugby Park he did it? Was it another one? What was the other one? So he's done it about three or four. So it's it's something he knows that he can do.
It's not luck.
No. But it's just that way that he just gets a slight curl on it. and pulls it. It's almost like he's kind of pulling it in at the top corner. It's quite something, but what a turnaround for him. It's lucky that Brian's not even totally kind of given the mea culpa yet, is he?
He did a good 60
through
minutes.
Through gritted teeth.
60 minutes, yeah. If he has 60 minutes like that every week, I don't care. That's what you want.
Yeah, I faded out the game towards the end. Yeah. Well.
He's a very good player, and I think, you know, the importance of goals, and he scores important goals, doesn't he?
He does.
That's a massive goal. So we'll see now. Yeah, we just got to keep, you know, I can see an offer for him, but then he has only been there a year, so I don't think he's necessarily in a rush to go. I think if somebody like Spurs or something like that came in, there was one of the rumours, I could understand that. But I don't think he's going to say, I'm going to go to West Ham. I don't see that.
No, I don't see that necessarily, but he seems to be agitating to go. I get asked about three times during the World Cup, where will you play next year? And he said, I don't know. And it's quite a weird thing to say when you're only 1 year. And you know, I once said, the only person that ever walked out in an interview with me was Mark Viduka. And I knew he was angling. It was just before Celtic, the cup final against, was it Dunfermline or something? It would have been Rangers, I suppose, wouldn't it? Rangers
was a cup final, yeah.
Before. So he got sent off for spitting in a guy against, it was Dunfermline, the week before. And I thought, they'll cancel this interview, they'll never give me this interview. But they did. They said, turn up, and it was just a one-on-one the next Saturday, turn up, he's still going to meet you. And so I asked him, you know, I had to get right in. I said, I have to get right in about this, about, you know, spitting somebody. Is it no disgusting and all that? Oh, have you never done anything that you regret? Have you never shouted at your wife? I didn't have a wife then, by the way.
You obviously knew what was going to happen in the future.
Never shouted at your wife. So we got off on a bad start, and he was really edgy about it all the way along. And I thought, it didn't go very well, but it was about half an hour. I got enough stuff anyway. And I said, but I knew that he didn't want to be at Celtic. He never wanted to be at Celtic for day one. We know that for me, Fergus having to go and fish him out. He's Zagreb. But I said to him, oh, Mark, I said, where do you see yourself in a year's time? And he jumped up off the seat, right? And he bashed through the double doors, the kind of trophy room bit, the boardroom.
Yeah.
Bashed through, and as he bashed through the doors, he said, what a fucking stupid question. I'm no Nostradamus. Right? And just jumped out and into his car. And I thought, that's quite an impressive, a Celtic player, talking about Nostradamus. Even you, as opposed to being, oh, man, wait, I was kind of, I'm saying, wow, I like that. Like, you don't get many Celtic players that would even know who Nostradamus was. But it was like, because I knew by asking that, because I knew that he thought, it's no fucking at Celtic anyway. I don't want to be anywhere near here.
And he's running coffee shop or something now, isn't he? The hills outside some city or something. He's a very interesting character. I had a lunch with, I don't know if I told this story, I've told it to loads of people, I don't know if I've told it, but I had a client when I was in London, was a football agent, and he was taking me out to lunch one day, and he rang me in the morning, and he said, a mate of mine is coming for the lunch, I hope that's okay, it'll be the three of us rather than just the two of us. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm getting a free lunch, I don't really care. So when I turned up, and the mate was Terry Venables.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you know, Terry. So we had a chat about football, and I was like grilling him. And he was really, really good company, really interesting guy. And I said, who's the best footballer you've ever coached? Who's the best footballer? And he said, Viduka. He said, for talent, not for output and all the rest. He said, but for talent, Mark Viduka was the best. And when you look at the teams that Venables had coached, you know, he worked with Gascoigne.
Exactly.
He worked at Barcelona. You know, he worked with some, he said, Viduka. And I was like, wow, really? And I was like, you know, and I was kind of chuffed because, you know, Viduka was a Celtic guy. You know, like, oh, yeah, one of our guys is better than all those other guys. But yeah, it was
70%.
So Viduka was a funny. He was a funny one, wasn't he? Yeah.
Really funny. But the reason why I mentioned it is because the very fact that when Negrin was kept getting asked that during the World, three times I read like, and he never once said, well, I'm Celtics, my team, something might happen in the future. It was like, he said, well, we don't know. So he's clearly angling, he's desperate to go. It's funny when you watch players, well, especially you were watching him the other night, you thought, could this be his second last game for Celtic? because you thought Celtic wouldn't sell anybody between the legs. I'm sure that wouldn't happen. Unless they offered 50 million for Negan, where they're not going to do that. But you think some of these, you think, and Hatate was coming on, you think, God, could this be his last appearance?
Negan does look happy, though.
He does look happy. I mean, who seems to be making you happy? Who makes you happy? Who makes me happy?
he does seem to be, you know, the body, you know, we've got a vast majority of body language experts in the Celtic support. You know, they're taking over from the financial experts. But, like, he actually genuinely looks like he's really enjoying his football. But there was times last year, I'm not sure he was, but then last year, that could probably have applied to the whole squad. Because I think it was just one of those, you know, the squad, the support, the managers, everybody. But whereas this year there is that, you know, we talked earlier about, said so. I think this team's got goals in them, and actually, if you're playing, it must be quite fun, you know, and you've got good, and if you're playing with other good players, it's fun. It raises everyone's level, doesn't it?
It does.
So suddenly they're all going up a level because they're playing with other good players, and you know when you make that pass, actually the guy's going to get it and he's going to do something with it because he's better than the guy that you were sending. He's better than sending the ball. No disrespect through to Johnny Kenny, you know, and that's what you're seeing. Like, so I fancy us every game. Now, last year it was like, we got one, right? Well, maybe hang on. You know, you needed two. And even at two, you weren't sure you were. Whereas now, I think we just think, oh, we're going to score.
You do. You know,
there is something about we're going to score goals and we've got that in us.
Yeah.
And last, we're definitely the best team we've played so far this season. But we scored three really good goals and we could have scored some more.
I know.
So I can see us scoring over there. I can also see us conceding, you know, for that.
So you're going to give us is this your kind of preempting? You're going to give us another of your famous predictions?
I'm not having a Nostradamus type prediction here.
A fucking stupid question. What's wrong with the question? What's wrong with the question? Come back, Mark. Do you know when he played at Celtic Park, oh, what an arse I made of myself. So it was, we were at the Zagreb, the pre-game conference, and they put him up, right? And he was then known as Marko Viduka.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, hey, and I said to the interpreter, can you ask Marko what he thinks about playing Celtic or some shit like that? And the guy went, and obviously Viduka went, hey, mate, I speak English. I'm Australian. I hadn't quite done my homework. And he went, yeah, I love the thought of Celtic. Catholic. I'm a Catholic boy. I love these guys. And the, you know, the Scottish journalists, it's going, I love it. I'm a Catholic boy. This is a Catholic club. So I'm actually getting the back page of the Evening Times, I have to say, even though I made an arse of it. But what's your thoughts, Keith? Like, we'll go round. Finish off, like, I'm going to actually go for a 2-2. I'm going to go for a 2-2 on Tuesday.
I think we'll unsettle them by, I think we'll score maybe first. I don't think we'll go all guns blazing to try and get that goal. I think we'll try and assert control over the game. As long as within that first 10 minutes, isn't it? We were talking about the European away games earlier on. The one I always think of is, it was at Benfica and Gary Caldwell. We just see stupid stuff. Amazing. But I don't see us having that in us this time. I think Anil will have them settled. We'll have them prepared. Maloney as well, doing wonderful things. There was a bit in the game last week where we were in a tight spot at the right-back situation and we passed our way through, so we progressed up the park. And I think we were just unlucky with the shot towards the end. But Maloney was out applauding the players. It's as if that's something that we had been working on in the training ground and he'd seen it come to life on the pitch. And I think we're well prepared this week off to get everything ready for it. Everybody settled, know the roles, full analysis done off the opposition. I think we'll be ready. We'll be ready to go. A draw, I think it will be one of the ones we'll get a draw. I don't know if we're going to be as lucky as we were last year with our high pressing and the balls getting past us inside the 18-yard box for us just to tap it in. But I think we've all create chances and we've got players who are showing themselves to be quite deadly and in front of goals now. So, yeah, I'm confident for the game on Tuesday night. It's weird getting into the final qualifier for the Champions League and actually having a bit of confidence in the side, isn't it?
And it's an away game. Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually probably worked out Were we talking about this before, Stephen? But it actually probably worked out better for Celtic that yeah, first leg was at home.
Because you get a lead to hold on to rather than chasing something in the second game, yeah.
Yeah, and what's your prediction then for the...
I was going to say 2 each, but you stole it. I think it'll be a scoring draw. I can see us scoring. I can see us conceding. You know, if you look at the games last year, actually, you know, we'd got a good result in Feyenoord. I don't think they were not a great Feyenoord scene, but actually, if you look over the season, they qualified for the Champions League. They finished ahead of Ajax. Did a good, you know, domestically, they didn't have a bad season. They were a good team. You know, they scored early on against us, didn't they? The Japanese lad scored early on. And we still came back and done well. And we rode our luck a wee bit, but we did have some good European performances away from home last year, albeit it was only the Europa rather than the Champions League. But I think, you know, this team are that level, aren't they? They're a Europa League team, maybe a Champions League team. So we shouldn't be terrified, but we should be respectful. And I think we are. The noises that are coming out from O'Neill straight after the game, you know, I like, okay, it wasn't in that game, but it was like, you know, McGregor after the Kilmarnock game, like, okay, calm down. You know, that's one thing. There's a lot of intangibles around McGregor that we don't see. Joe Hart speaks very highly of him. Kasper Schmidt, you know, those guys have played with really good footballers.
They have.
And if they speak like McGregor at that, maybe it's, you know, maybe we put some more respect on his name.
Definitely.
Because actually those guys are. So I think we've got the right people there. You know, Carter Vickers will be important. Tierney will be important. Your senior player, you know, Brian last year was talking about the senior players. You know, I think Negrin's beginning to become one of the senior players now. He's the guy and the others look up to him and they see what he's doing. So I think we've got enough guys in the team to get us through the game. We've got enough characters in there that actually are not going to crumble if something goes wrong early on, and you know they'll see it through. And yeah, it'll be fun in games. It'll be the usual. It's not going to be, you know, I don't see us turning. I mean, I remember the game I was at, the European, you know, Stuttgart game. We were 2-0 up. Do you remember that? And we were like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then we were absolutely hanging. We were in the Stuttgart end. We were hanging on at the end. It's like, oh my days. And you know, that's always been a, you know, the Benfica one you mentioned. I was at that again in the Benfica end with my Celtic shirt on with myself and my mate. We had all these Benfica fans jumping on us, and they were, you know, they were dead sound to us anyway. The fact that they were 2-0 up after 10 minutes meant that they didn't really have to worry about us celebrating or jumping up and down or anything. So, yeah, hopefully we don't have the usual Celtic, the cluster of, you know, yeah, as long as we don't have
the
that,
cluster
I can
fuck.
The clusterfuck. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, you know, so that we can keep this one for the kids so we don't have to put an 18 rating on it. But, I can see us doing enough to get through, and I think it'll be 1 each, 2 each, something like that, I think. You know, and that'll be good. I'd like a win for the coefficient.
I know,
because you get
definitely.
Extra wee points, don't you? And since that we're carrying the country at the moment on the old coefficient stakes. So, you know, us and Hibs really are the ones that are doing our bit. Motherwell were unlucky. The other teams we've only talked about, but
they had
found their level.
They had a horror of a draw, Motherwell. It was never going to go any other way.
Yeah, I felt sorry for them, yeah.
Yeah. Keith, did you actually give us a scoreline?
I think I'll go 1-1. 2-2 is what I was thinking, but I'll go 1-1 or 2-1 to the Hoops.
Ah, well, that all sounds tickety-boo. You know, when I was thinking about scorelines, I can't remember what it was. I can't remember what I was thinking. I'm sitting here thinking, which I can't remember. Right, well, thanks very much, guys. Lovely to see you, and I hope we're all right.
Good. Yeah. Hope your team wins. Yeah.
God bless you. Good night.
Yeah. Cheers. Good night.
Cheers. Thanks.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring